Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Wow, episode 2.
And they said it wouldn't last.
I'm kind of breathless. People like us, all three. People that joined and signed up, you know, and subscribed. Thank you for doing that.
Well, I think the thing they like best about our podcast is we have traffic and weather on the 8th.
Yeah, we do. And the buffet. That's part of it, too. Hey, thank you for joining us for this episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. My name is Dan Hurst. And we continue with our guest who joined us for our first episode. Mark, introduce him.
Yeah, Mark Halleck. We are here actually doing this set of podcasts live from Calvary Church in Inglewood, Colorado. It really is a very special place for people who do replanting. Mark has been replanting here for a number of years, has helped plant and replant 30 churches out of this church, and we are meeting in his church, sitting on his couch.
Hey, we're right here, man.
I think this couch was in the youth room probably.
This has been here a long time.
It has
been.
So we're on the couch.
I'm so glad you guys are here. This is awesome.
And so we're just going to talk about all kinds of great things about replanting, revitalizing dying churches, revitalizing your church, anybody's church.
Amen.
And Dan and I have been friends for 50 years, literally. And we're only 40, so that's pretty hard to do.
Well, you know, our parents were friends.
That's right. They were.
We knew each other in the womb.
Sort of.
One of the things that we want to talk about today are the four reasons dying churches should have hope. I mean, if you don't have hope, then your ministry is really stagnant. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So let's talk a little bit about that, because hope suggests that there is a future.
Well, I think one of the things we've seen God do over the last decade or more, Mark, we've seen a changing narrative. Dying churches, when I was doing church planting in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s,
yes.
Dying churches was something you avoided, you ran away from. They were like a black hole. You didn't want to go near them. They would just suck in resources and people. You'd never see them again. Now, dying churches are seen as a platform to display God's glory. They are an opportunity
Amen.
For God to do something. That's a huge, huge. I don't think people realize in our generation what a change that has been in the narrative of churches, that dying churches are something that actually can have hope.
That's right. And it's exciting to see how many young pastors are feeling a call to go serve in these churches.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is that you see the power of the gospel at work, man. God specializes in showing his strength and weakness.
Yeah.
And so we see that all over the place with churches that are coming back to life. Praise God.
Are you suggesting that it's a decision that you make to start the ministry, or does that sense of, hey, we really do have a future, develop over a period of time, over a short period of time?
Well, I think that in the past, dying churches didn't have a narrative. They didn't have many stories they could look to and say, hey, this church was dying, but now it's alive again. There weren't very many of those. And so I think what you see now, dying churches have hope. They look at other churches that are very similar to them and say, look, they've done an amazing job of coming back and doing perhaps greater of reaching people than they have for decades, if maybe in their entire life of their church. And so dying churches now are seeing that God is moving among dying churches,
yes.
and that gives them hope. And like you said, hope is really fundamental to everything we do. And our hope is not a hope like, man, I hope the Chiefs win next week.
Right.
I hope the Broncos win. Of course,
that was rough.
They don't win.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That was a low blow.
That was really rough.
But that's another low blow.
Our hope is a certain hope that where God shows up, as God
that's
shows
exactly
up,
right.
things happen. So yes, I think there is a new hope about dying churches and declining churches that wasn't there a few decades ago.
How do you define that for your people? How do you define that future for them? What words do you use to say, we have a future?
Well, I think you say that God is at work all around us all the time, and he's at work in this community. Even though it may look like there's nothing going on here, it may look like it's spiritually dead, we know that God is at work in every part of your community. And as Henry Blackaby says, we join him in it. And so our hope comes from the fact that the Father takes the initiative. We don't. Our hope comes from the fact that the Father's will be done. Our hope comes from the fact that God is drawing people to himself,
That's right.
and we join him in that. Our hope comes in the sovereignty of God in missions and in all things. It does not come in our ability, does not come in our denomination, does not come in our wisdom. It comes in the sovereignty of God and his plan to draw people to him. That's where our hope comes
Amen.
From.
And so the hope that we have then suggests that we have an opportunity.
Right.
We have an opportunity to make an impact for the kingdom of God. Let's talk about opportunities. What are your opportunities, whether seen or unseen, that almost every church revitalization or replant has?
Well, I let Mark talk about this. One of the things, larger churches, healthier churches, have an opportunity now to help dying churches that they probably didn't have a few decades ago, because dying churches weren't willing, and many of them still aren't. It's still an issue. But they weren't nearly as willing to receive help as they are now. Yep. So dying churches, declining churches, you know, the two churches that I've led to replant, Warnell Road in Kansas City, and now I'm working at Linwood in Linwood, Kansas. Both of those, we reached out and got significant help and leadership from other churches that came alongside and really helped us in many ways. And many times we had to give up what you would call control in order for that to happen. That was not common years ago. But Mark, talk a little bit about what happens here at Calvary and churches that are now willing to receive that kind of help.
Yeah, well, I think it's so good because I think there's two sides to this. There's one is the church itself, the declining church, that is willing, humble enough to say, Lord, this is your church. It's not our church. And so we want to do what you want us to do. But then the other side is we're seeing more and more larger, healthier churches wanting to get into the game of not just expanding their own kingdom, but expanding the kingdom. And that's key in this whole replanting movement, is radical partnership between churches. And I'm encouraged to see more and more, we get calls all the time from pastors in larger churches saying, hey, how can we get in the game? How could we send some people to go help and see a new...
Let me tell you how Mark's doing that. We're in this studio down here in the basement, in the sub-basement down here.
Somewhere down here.
In this sub-basement down here somewhere. And we came in here and the windows were open and it was cold. It's December when we're recording this.
In Colorado.
And I said, why is it windows open? He said, well, we had a bunch of young people in here recording music last night and they probably got hot. And I said, what were these young people recording music? And he said, well, we've got 30 churches in our network. Many of them were replants. And they need worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we here at Calvary, we're about raising up worship leaders for these churches. That is different. I mean, that's where you see kingdom focus. When you have larger churches say, we want to raise up leaders, not for us.
That's right.
We want to raise up leaders to give away.
And another piece of that is, and praise the Lord, we need to plant churches. You know, we're a church planting church. We want to see this expand. But boy, there's something exciting, I believe, about being part of coming alongside and bringing hope to a dying church, a struggling church, and sending your best leaders there to infuse new life. Now, that takes humility, that takes a kingdom vision, but it's happening, and it's happening more and more, and I believe it's so honoring to the Lord, and it gives hope to dying churches.
Yeah.
It seems to me that you're using the word opportunities interchangeably with the concept of ministry. Mm. So you're giving people ministry. And one of the reasons people, I think, don't have a sense of hope is they don't have a ministry. They don't have a way to express that.
That's right.
So you find ways for your people to express their ministry. Do you ask them? What do you do? Would you define the ministry you need? What happens there?
Yeah. I mean, I would say this. I think most folks, if we're just being honest, in churches today are bored. They're bored. They've got gifts and they're sitting on it. And we've professionalized ministry to the point where many people are sitting in the pews. They're made to be in the game. They're made to use their gifts. They're made to go bless people. But many times churches, either for control reasons or whatever, fail to unleash the church. It was a book written in the 80s called Unleashing the Church, Frank Tillipaw. You can get it for probably 20 cents on Amazon.
Right.
But the big idea of that, and we're totally bought into that at Calvary, is we really are here as pastors to equip the saints for the work of ministry, which means we've got to be less controlling and be more encouraging. And our posture, instead of saying, why should I let you, is how can I help you? Mm. And when that happens, the Spirit begins to move in power. Is it messy? Absolutely.
Right.
But you go into places, it's not pretty, but you now go to churches that people are going, why would you waste your time? And we say, you know why? Because those are God's people.
Do you know how many times I go to a church, a normative sized church, and I pastor a normative sized church, about 40, 50 people. I go to many churches that size, and the pastor gives a greeting, the pastor reads the scripture, the pastor does all the praying, the pastor does the preaching, the pastor does the benediction, all of those things. And I'm thinking, where's anybody else in this church? You know, how are you using some other folks? And you've got to always be, and guys will say, well, there's nobody here really qualified to do that. Well, your job is to get somebody qualified
exactly.
to do that.
That's right.
That's the whole point.
That's exactly right.
If I go to a church and you're doing everything,
yeah.
Man, there's a problem.
That's there. Right.
You know, last Sunday morning at Linwood, where I am, a guy named Lauren got up, and I didn't know he was going to do it because another guy does the scripture reading or for us in terms of getting them planned. So until I got there at Sunday morning, I didn't know who was going to read scripture that morning because basically yeah. I don't pay attention to a lot of things like I should. So anyway, I get there and I look at the bulletin and I go, Lauren, really? He got up and he read scripture. He read it perfectly. And then he prayed.
Wow.
And he prayed this amazing prayer that was well thought out and well structured and very powerful. Here's the deal. Yeah. 1 year ago that week, Howie in our church was going door to door in our little community and knocked on Lauren's door.
Yeah.
And Lauren started to come to Bible study. Mm. Lauren then came to know Jesus. And 1 year later, Lauren was up in front of our church wow. reading scripture publicly and praying and doing a really good job. Yeah. That makes any it. Pastor really, really happy.
And see, and in church revitalization, replanting, that kind of story, that's got to be a passion. That's got to fire you up.
Yeah.
Because again, we're in that we're not inheriting. When you go to a church, you're not, you know, if you use a sports analogy in this case, you're not probably walking into a Kansas City Chiefs, at least this season. You're probably going, dare
Denver
I
Broncos.
Say, the Denver Broncos, baby. and so part of the challenge is how do we help? And I would say the joy and the excitement is how do we help the Broncos, if you will, mm-hmm. become healthy again, right? And to find hope again, man. We've got Super Bowl banners around this city. You know what I mean? There was a day, but it's not going back there. It's a new future that God has for us.
Right.
And how do we mobilize these people, give them hope and excitement, and get them in the game to get some wins and to see the kingdom advance?
But I'm going to tell you, when you got 40 or 45 people on Sunday morning and they see a guy get up there and do a great job. And I went up to him afterward and I said, man, Lauren, you did a great job. You know what he told me? Howie's our associate pastor. He said, oh, Howie really worked with me on the scripture and Howie helped me with the prayer. I think that was just such a cool. And so our people look at a guy and go, that guy has come to know Jesus this year.
Yep.
He came because somebody went to his door and knocked on his door. And now, I mean, that just encourages everybody to say, you know, I think I might go knock on some doors. I might disciple some people. Maybe I need to be discipled more. It's just it's a thing where it really begins to build its own momentum.
That's right. Our dying churches everywhere, this community we're in, are filled with Lawrence.
They are.
They're all over there. They're just waiting for pastors and churches to reach out to them, to introduce them to Jesus, and get them in the game, man.
Right, because Jesus is at work in
That's
those
right.
communities all around
Jesus
us.
Is at work.
Yeah.
I had somebody in the class that I teach come to me one day and just say, look, I really want to get involved, but I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And I thought, that simple statement spoke for probably 90% of my people. I'd
really?
Like to. Yeah. I just don't know what to do. And I suddenly realized at that point, it's my job to teach them spiritually, but it's also my job to teach them ministerially. What is your ministry? How do we define your ministry? How do we help you? How do we build a platform for you to express your ministry? And I had a similar one with scripture reading. I got an old DJ reading scripture now.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
That's
you know,
awesome.
It's
yeah.
just
yeah, yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
the people love him, you know, and,
yeah.
and,
so great.
And he loves doing it. We talk about these opportunities. Along with that, church replanters these days have a greater opportunity than ever before because of the sources and resources available to them.
Absolutely. Look, when I was years ago in the 1980s, when I used to work at the Old Home Mission Board, one of my jobs was to go to the seminaries and kind of attract church planters to be. And I mean, everybody's wanting to plant churches. I mean, you know, it was right on the heels of Rick Warren and Hybels and all that stuff.
Yep,
and
yep.
church planting was where everybody wanted to be, and there was huge crowds. But, you know, nobody wanted to go to a dying little church that was about to go under. I will tell you now that when I and our team, when we go on seminary campuses, guys are really interested in going to dying churches.
Yeah.
I want to tell you.
I love it.
That tells me that God is about to do something amazingly, Amen. Fantastically wonderful in dying churches, because he would not be raising up
That's right.
a generation of young men to go to these places unless God was going to go with them.
Amen.
When God asked Moses to go to be with Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh, God said, and of course I'll go with you. If God calls them, he'll go with them.
Yeah.
And so I'm encouraged because God's calling young men in a way I've never seen it before to go to dying churches. That's number one. Number two, the resources, the podcast like this one. Well, this is a pretty lame one, but there's some really good ones out there.
Good ones out
we'll put the good ones in the show notes. But the podcast out there, the video, the YouTube cast, the books. Mark's written some amazing books, Mark Halleck. He really has, on replanting. And there's some, and Brian Croft has written some amazing books on replanting. And there's guys that can model it for you. 20 years ago, none of that was there. So, Dan, I think for guys who are 25, 26 years old, they don't realize what an opportunity it is right now to go to dying churches. There'll be cohorts we can put you in. We could put you in an online cohort. You're not going to be there doing it by yourself. You could come to a church like Mark's here in Denver, and you could go through a year or two of internship and learn everything you need to learn from a practical standpoint about what it takes to replant a dying church, and then maybe be sent to a dying church with some people that would go with
you, right? That's exactly right.
So talk about that.
That's exactly right. And what's exciting is this whole idea of the church. You know, we talk about how churches plant churches, and I believe so strongly churches replant churches. And part of that is raising up leaders.
Right.
And every church can do this. And this is one of the things, Mark, I love about your ministry is sometimes we think there's the big boys, the big churches, and they're the ones that kind of, they're the church planting churches. They're the ones who can raise up leaders. Man, I'm convinced, quite frankly, the normative sized church is often the best place to raise up leaders and to raise up replanters and to send them out. And so one of our passions with the North American Mission Board, with what we're doing here at Calvary, is helping churches establish internships, residencies that they can do to help raise up these guys and send them out. And that's part of what's going to fuel this movement too. As churches die and get sick, we need to raise up leaders. And I'm with you, man. I think the Spirit is moving in powerful ways. I meet young guys all the time, gifted guys who could go be really comfortable and make good money and live in a nice, pretty house and the whole deal.
Right.
And they're saying, man, I want to go where nobody wants me
wants
to go. And I want to go shepherd and love and preach the word and be in a community that desperately needs Jesus. Can I do that? And yes, you can do that. And there's a growing army of young men that we see in the Southern Baptist Convention and even beyond that are getting fired up and want to give their lives to this ministry.
And I think part of it is they do realize God's glory is at stake.
That's right.
If that church closes its doors after it sits on that corner for 120 years, it robs God of his glory. Yeah. It says, what about our God is great? What about his gospel is powerful?
Amen.
And I think for them, it becomes not just an act of missions, but an act of worship.
Amen.
To go and replant that dying churches. So they reframed it in that way. And by the way, if you're listening and you want to do an internship in your church with just one guy, contact us, contact Mark, and he'll help you. Mark's done, he's got all on video, a whole year worth of internship on how everything he did about preaching, about visitation, about evangelism, about raising up leaders. You could take Mark's information and you could use it in your church and raise up an intern in your church, right, Alex?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And all these resources, man, we're talking about, I mean, most of them, we want to give them away.
Sure.
We want to give them away. This is for the kingdom, man.
Yeah.
This isn't our platform. This is about Jesus' platform.
Exactly. We do a cohort every year with Brian Croft. We've had over 600 guys go through this.
Unbelievable.
It's a 9-month cohort every week. It's not
it's
absolutely free, and guys from all across the world are on it. And so it's the pastor cohort. Just helps you understand how to replant a dying church.
I love it.
All kinds of resources, Dan, out there now for churches that need to be replanted.
Which brings us to our final point. We have just a few moments left here, and that is, it really does validate the fact that Jesus has a plan for every church.
Amen.
And we're part of it.
I say all the time, Jesus is not looking down at your church going, now that's one I don't know what to do with. That building is too much of a mess. Man, they had a split in 1987, and they're never coming back. They had a pastor who had a moral failure, so I guess we just got to forget it. Jesus doesn't say any of that stuff. I mean, he loves that church more than you love it, and he has a plan for it. The struggle is, his plan is often not your plan.
Mm.
And again, to quote Henry Blackaby, God is under no obligation, nor will he resource your plans for his church, but he'll spare nothing from heaven to resource his plan for his church.
So
when we discover his plan, the resources will be there.
Yeah.
But his plan is often very different than our plan. His plan may be for you to open up your arms, your hands, and turn to someone like Mark Halleck at Calvary and say, hey, will you come here and help us? And we know what that means. It means you'll make the decisions for 6 months or a year. You'll appoint a leader to come serve with us.
Yeah.
We're willing to do that. Or it may mean, hey, we're willing to let a new church plant that needs a building adopt us, and we'll become part of that new church. Some of you listening to me go, man, we would never do that. Well, then you may die.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, your lamp may go out.
Yeah.
But if you will do what Jesus wants you to do, you've got a future.
I love it.
You really do.
Which brings us to the conclusion of four reasons dying churches should have hope. And it's obvious that God is up to something and wants to do something in your church. And we invite you to come alongside us and connect with us and let us find some resources for you and set you on the path to finding that hope that your church has and that you should have also. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. That's important. It helps us build our audience. And if you have subscribed to this program before, do it again.
Yeah, we need you to subscribe again. We lost a subscriber list somewhere. Yeah. No, not really. But we do need you to subscribe.
Organization is not one of our...
We don't have a gift administration. No, for reasons that don't bear going into at this point, we need you to subscribe right now. So just go ahead and subscribe. How do they do that? I don't know how they do that.
There's a button.
Is there a button?
There's a button.
Is there a button?
There's a button for everything.
There's a button. Click the button. Go ahead and subscribe.
It's a great button.
And whenever you subscribe, an angel gets his wings. So we'll all be good. What, Hurst? You're supposed to be the pro. Wrap this thing up.
You just did.
That's it, bud. That's the ending.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.